Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 605. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Guys, I'm drinking this great new beer. It's called Jeff's Tears. It's got this, like, you know, really hopeful bouquet, but with a bitter finish. It's pretty salty, too. So
not sound appetizing.
I feel like a little salty is kind of generous, because I feel like it's extremely salty and bitter, which is why Sir Jeffrey's not with us tonight. He is somewhere off, probably crying.
Right. I'm pretty sure I could hear him off in the distance.
he's riding Nintendo out of his world as we speak. They were supposed to get half of everything. Now they'll get nothing, and they'll like it.
And they did not deliver for him in the capacity that he was hoping for. But so Earl is here as well, but no Jeff.
Coward.
Coward. We all had to deal with disappointment this week.
Yeah. I have never heard Jeff be so like sure that he was right before.
I believed him. I mean, there was no reason not to. Everybody was saying it.
And Jeff mentioned this to us outside of this, but like, it's not so much Nintendo let him down. It was the very confident leakers.
Yes.
And then the legitimate news reporters who were like, yes, I've heard the same thing, like corroborating those leaks. Made it seem like he might have been correct.
Folks who you could normally trust to be right on this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, like when Jeff Grubb and Jason Schreier and Patrick Klepek are like, yes, we've all heard that Metroid and Zelda are coming. Like, well, you kind of take their word for it.
I mean, here's the thing with Nintendo always. I don't not believe for a second that isn't true. I wouldn't be surprised if those games existed. It's just that like, they're not a normal company in the sense that, like, oh, we have this game, we're going to release this game that it is finished. They're like, oh, you know what, this game doesn't need to be released right now. Let's sit on it for a few months until we need it for something. Like, case in point, we'll get to in a second. That Fire Emblem game was rumored from the start of this year. Curie, they did not, from where everything that people have said, the game was completed and known about since at least probably January of this year.
That's but Fire Emblem Engage.
Yes, we'll get to the stupid name in a second. But it's like one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, we don't need that, because like, and it was the same argument I had with Jeff. It's that like, Nintendo's very much keen on like, oh, you know, we have enough games that are kind of in states that we can sit on them until we actually need to make something out of it. And I've said before, like, it wasn't necessarily that I don't think these games exist. It was more that I didn't think Nintendo needed it with their end of the year lineup, because it doesn't strengthen it in any meaningful way for them. Like, Metroid doesn't move the needle any. Zelda doesn't move the needle any. I think Zelda might have been a bigger get if, and we'll get to this in a second as well, if Tears of Kingdom or whatever, the Breath of the Wild sequel wasn't out in May. If it was out, if they had to delay to the back half of next year, I think then we would have seen those games come in as constellations. But now that I think that game is close to finish, I think those games are probably, I don't even know if they'd be next year. I could see them being games that they put out in like early 2020, when it's 2024, I should say.
Yeah.
When it's like, oh yeah, we need to do something while we transition to a new console.
Well, like, the other thing is like, they don't want to get in the way of their own Zelda, right? Yeah. So give people plenty of time to purchase this one and play through it. And then, you know, a year from now, when those people are done and haven't played Zelda in 6 months, okay, here's a new Zelda game.
Exactly.
As opposed to giving them Zelda now, which then you give them a new Zelda, and then they're like, okay, I'm going to wait till the price goes down or something. Like, they want to get full sales on each one of these, and if they have this game, maybe it's finished. Maybe it's ready to go. But they make more money in the long run by waiting and releasing that, like, 18 months from now.
Yes, and it's one of the luxuries that they have, and that, like, a lot of the, like, I mean, like, clearly, like, there are games that do not get finished until they're done. I think, you know, like, I think, like, a Mario game or a Zelda game is probably, Splatoon, I think Xenoblade are probably pushed until they have to be. But there's games, like, I mean, famously, I think the biggest example I could think of recently was, like, I mean, there's a lot of examples. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, though, the original Wii U release, was delayed until 2014 because they're like, oh, we already have 3D. They had 3D World. They had a bunch of other games. Like, it's not going to make a difference. Save it for Q1 of the next year. So then you have something to put in that slot. And I think that's the same thing you're seeing here, where it's like, again, that was the argument I had with Jeff. It's like, it's not that, you know, I'm sure people want these games. It's that Metroid's not going to move the needle anymore than Pokemon and Splatoon are going to this year. Metroid's not going to have, like, somebody who's like, oh man, I wanted to pick up a Switch, but I wasn't sure. So it doesn't serve that purpose. It serves the purpose of, like, next summer, for example, when it's like, oh, we don't have anything major. We could dump this in, like, July and August, and those fans will pick it up.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. The people buying those games also are going to buy them whenever they're released.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, Jeff is buying this new Metroid game whenever it happens.
Well, I mean, that's not even a new Metroid game he wanted.
Right.
But the rumor, I guess, was the Metroid Prime remaster, remake, whatever. And then Zelda Wind Waker HD again, I guess.
Yeah.
And Twilight Princess HD again.
Yes, and from everything I've heard, it sounds like it was really just the Wii games again. The Wii
U. Like,
at least Metroid Prime would have been
something. Metroid,
yeah, that seemed like that was an actual ground-up remake or something that we hadn't seen before. But again, it was like, it doesn't serve them any purpose. It doesn't really do anything for them this year. It also, I mean, again, I guess we're talking about the Nintendo Direct. It also kind of highlighted why they were like, there wasn't an E3 thing, because they didn't announce anything new for this year, which I was actually a bit surprised by. Like, I didn't expect, like, Metroid or anything like that, but I thought we would have gotten, like, a party game. Like, it's weird that they don't have a major party game for the end of the year.
Or, like, one more small title would have made sense.
Yes.
Yeah. It just kind of seems empty without it.
Like, in hindsight, and, you know, it is what it is, I would have held off on WarioWare until this year, because you didn't need WarioWare and Mario Party in the same year. It just cannibalizes each other.
Yeah. I welcome Jeff's thoughts on this. Jeff, what do you think?
They are dropping, three Mario Party games onto that N64 emulation thing. That's not real. That's not a substitute for a new party game. But.
No, it's not. But it's just like, I mean, and I'm not even saying that I want a party game, but it is always one of those games that you want variety in your lineup. And I think that's one of those games that helps. And again, you had, you know, I think I said that last year, like, as much as I was excited for both of them, it was weird that both of them were coming out in the same year. So close together, too. They were like 2 months, a month and a half apart. Where, like, you know, like, I mean, the other one that I guess is everybody's been rumored is, like, the sequel to 1-2 Switch. That said, I guess, I will say, and I think I had this discussion, I forget if with you folks or with other people, that I do think that with the addition of golf, that I think Switch Sports will be actually one of their big sellers at the end of the year, because I think there's just an audience that wanted golf. that it has not been in there yet. And I think with that addition, I think you do see, I do think that's a game that you can market again as like, yeah, now we have Wii Sports and this is the Wii Sports you remember. There's 8-player golf online, so you can play with friends and family across the world. And it's a good selling point for NSO. So we'll see.
Yep. Yeah, that the direct they did show a lot of games.
Oh yes. And sorry, just to that point, you mentioned that. When we say like the smaller titles, we mean from Nintendo, because there's a lot of farming sims. And I hope I don't offend anybody, but I don't think of them as big games. And I think part of the reason is like there isn't a ton of money put into them. And I don't mean they are cheap. I just mean that like they are cheap. But
Harvest Moon doesn't do it for you, Earl. Come on.
If not Harvest Moon, we got Rune Factory, we got Fae Farm, we got there's a lot of different games that we had that filled a void, I guess, for me. But yes, Chris, take it away.
Maybe Animal Crossing was too successful. I think that's the problem.
It was so...
That's possible, right? Because like I'm on this first page alone, and there are 50 games on this list. We're not going to touch them all because that's absurd. But I see three here. You know, Earl already mentioned a couple of them: Fae Farm, Rune Factory 3, Story of Seasons is another one. There's a new Rune Factory coming.
Yeah.
Various Daylife is one. Too many. I mean, I guess if you're into farming games, Nintendo's got you covered.
And yeah, there are people into farming games. And it's sad because you mentioned it and somebody else mentioned it and I never put two and two together. That, like, yes, of course there's a ton of farming games because Animal Crossing is like a $30 million game. Why wouldn't you want to capitalize on that off the end? And it never dawned on me like, oh yeah, Animal Crossing is this massive project that had, did super well. And I mean, because in my head, it was always like Stardew Valley, because that also did really well on the Switch.
And yeah.
Somebody's like, yeah, Animal Crossing. I'm like, right, Nintendo did do this giant. Like, because I don't think Animal Crossing has a farming sim, but it is very much kind of in that life sim category.
You hop in. I mean, it's very similar to what the Dreamlight Valley that Jeff was telling us about last week. But you hop in, you do your daily tasks. In these farming games, the daily tasks are you just happen to farm. Like you're planting seeds and harvesting crops. And
yes, and I think the other thing is they don't tend to be tied in as much to the real world calendar like Animal Crossing is.
Right.
Like, you know, it was an issue that you two had, I believe, with... I mean, you folks had a lot of other issues, but it was one of them, is that like, you do need to, like, okay, pay attention to the calendar for stuff to happen.
Yeah, or I mean, they did a better job with the latest Animal Crossing, where you could kind of adjust how your town reacts and like if the shops will stay open. But yeah, like if you play at night, like nothing is open unless you can make that adjustment.
Yeah, that was the big problem that I had with it.
Yeah,
like I always played at night and I can't do anything.
you like get on and everybody's like, well, we're going to sleep now. Okay. Shop I guess I can't closed. Sell these seashells either.
Again. So. Yeah. Again.
And I mean, there's ways around it, but like, again, it feels cheap when it's like, oh yes, I'm going to have to go take a different hemisphere or a different time zone to play the game how it wants me to play it or something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, so Earl had already mentioned Fire Emblem Engage. I don't really know a lot about Fire Emblem. Is this a full Fire Emblem game, like a new Fire Emblem?
Yeah, it looks like a brand new. I mean, it is a brand new. It is a brand new Fire Emblem one. It looks like the big gimmick of this one is that you're able to like call forth, I guess, characters from previous Fire Emblem games to help you. And it's out pretty soon, what, January, I think?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I will continue my legacy with Fire Emblem, which is to buy it and not play it. I think I own Awakening. I played the one that like was the big comeback for it. I really did enjoy it, and then I bought the second one.
Three Kingdoms?
No, the one on the Switch is Three Houses.
Three Houses.
And I bought that too with anticipation of like I have digital keys on my system. I'm gonna start this any day now. And has not done that. But yes, I mean they're fun games. They you know, they are.
Are they though?
I find them enjoyable.
So I tried Three Houses. The problem I have with games like that, I want to play the game at some point, and you spend so much time just walking around talking to people and getting like caught up in the story element. Like at some point, like I want to recruit guys and I want to use them in a fight and then I want to upgrade them. Can I just do that?
I've not played it, but I've been told that is one because that is very much a Three Houses thing. That was, I mean, I'm not to say that there wasn't talking and recruiting, but like the ones on the 3DS, I guess partially because they were handheld. A lot of like they would be talking before combat and app stuff. But a lot of it was driven by, like, yes, go, here's a battle sequence, complete this, figure out the map, where I, because Three Houses is, I don't want to say drawn, but from what I gather, a lot of it is driven by the characters and their interactions, and nurturing the dynamics, and the fact that you have these three distinct houses and captains, and their personalities, and how they relate to everybody, like, the good and bad with Fire Emblem is the big successful one that kind of reignited the franchise's appeal in the West and beyond was also the one that was very heavy into essentially like shipping and stuff like that. So you get stuff like, yes, you got to get these relationships and you have to spend time in between missions talking to each other to make sure that, you know, like everybody's on the same page and everybody feels comfortable and safe and all that fun jazz.
And yeah.
Yes. And again, I think that was very much a Three Houses thing, which is also part of the reason why I didn't start it. That, and I think Three Houses is the one where it's like, you have to go through the game three different times.
Yeah. It's the side of me of a game that's broken. Like, where your core gaming mechanics are something that you use maybe 5 minutes out of every hour. It doesn't make any sense. Like, if either you're a game, like a story-driven game where you walk around and talking to people, and that's fine if that's the game you want to play, or you're an isometric RPG. Pick something.
Pick a lane.
Because I am here to play an isometric RPG. Well, I didn't get to play. I got to play a little tiny bit. And then I spent a lot of time walking around and talking to people, and it was fucking boring. So, like, that kind of thing, like, it makes me not want to play another Fire Emblem game, because this is, like, my experience is, there's no game here, I'm just walking around talking to people.
Yeah, and it's sad that that was your introduction, because, again, I do think that there are other games, and I shouldn't say other games, because there are no other ones on the Switch that you have access to, because like, you know, at least the 3DS, like even after they did the two original ones, they did a remake of 1-2, and at least then that would be like something you could I guess play. But yeah, this one was very much just a lot of it is like they went into the shipping. I mean they've gone kind of full anime with it.
Yeah.
Which is that's just not a bad thing in case anybody gets mad at me insulting anime. Actually, I won't care because I would insult anime in general. But I'm not saying that going, because again, I'm a huge Xenoblade fan, as people point out constantly, that is also an extremely anime-esque game.
Hey, Jeff, how do you feel about anime?
Speaking of Xenoblade, they announced the expansion pack. More characters and
yes, more characters and like challenge maps and stuff like that. Not new, but I was surprised. I mean, I guess because I'm just accustomed to Nintendo being Nintendo, I was surprised by the amount of, I guess, DLC, because there was the Xenoblade one. They announced the Splatoon Fat Fest, which is what would you bring on a desert island? I think it's like nerd stuff, food, and then the good stuff that people would actually bring, which is fun.
And there's a new SpongeBob game coming.
Oh, yes.
3D platformer. The Cosmic Shake. Couldn't read my own writing. I was like, that doesn't sound right, but actually that's exactly what it was. I don't know. That seems like a Jeff game, but maybe
I will say it's not my cup of tea, but I've learned over the last 2 years or so, there is a huge contingency of people who have very fond memories of like the 3D SpongeBob game to make the GameCube and PlayStation era, and it feels like they're just trying. I don't want to say it in the negative, right? But it does feel like they're trying to cash in on that nostalgia, and you know, more power to them. People have a fondness for it. They were apparently really good 3D platformers, and you have an audience. I think they did their Rehydrated a few years ago.
Yeah, Battle for Bikini Bottom or something like that.
Yeah. And that did well, so why not try to capitalize on it? How do I feel like there are lesser expectations with the SpongeBob like 3D platformer than, let's say, like a Crash or a Mario or something like that. So, like, yeah, as long as you aren't absolutely awful, I'm sure people are going to buy it and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, it's relatively low stakes. I don't think any of us are like super into this, but into it at all. But Fist of the North Star was shown in fitness boxing, and that was weird.
I would say that is one of my favorite announcements. Not because I'm into the game or anything, but I'm always so fascinated when a company comes out with like a completely batshit, insane, out of nowhere, like. I could see the notion of like, you know, Fist of the North Star, it's like this beat 'em up and stuff like that. You have somebody who's going to train. So I could see the notion of like having I can't even excuse it. It was just such a random, like, oh, this is different announcement.
So. Yeah. Square had a big showing there at Nintendo's thing.
I would say it had a big showing in general, but
what was that?
Square had a big showing in general this weekend.
Yeah. They kind of showed off Front Mission first, Front Mission 2, and then announced that they're doing a Front Mission 3 remake as well, all coming to the Switch. Octopath Traveler 2, which will be coming to PC, Switch, and PS4 and PS5. No Xbox announced there, so...
Oh, for some reason, that's I assumed it was Xbox. Because it's weird, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Octopath, the original, was a Switch exclusive, but it was eventually ported to Xbox, but not the PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it ever made it to play. It did make it to PC. Like, you can get it on Steam, and it's on Game Pass now. I don't know if it was ever on PlayStation or not, though. Weird.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a lot of like weirdness across the board. Because, like, yeah, I just assume like the original that it would have also been Switch exclusive, and then like afterwards it came out that it wasn't, and that it will be on a bunch of different platforms. But I mean, credit to them. I think that studio has really gotten a down pack where between Octopath, they had Project Triangle Strategy.
Yep.
And it Bravely Default. They just kind of get around to being able to like pumping that out on like a yearly rotation, and I think they had the right engine for it. I think that HD 2D engine looks really nice. The fact that they're like the only people using it means that it's also still fairly it's still a fairly unique looking art style.
Like, it's not something it's like, novel.
Yeah. But the fact that they can get it so that they get a game out a year is pretty damn impressive. Because, like, yeah, when they, cause that's also out in, what, February, I think, of next year?
Yeah, February 24th. February is, February and March are packed next year.
They like always every year. Are. It's always a bunch of games that got pushed back from the previous year, and like one or two announcements. But then we say the same thing every year. Like, it's packed, and then like the rest of the year happens, and it's like, oh, maybe we should have saved some of those games. It's like, yes. This year was pretty eventful, and then the end of the year, it's like, it's happening.
Where did it all go? What happened?
Square's scheduling here seems a little weird too. So Octopath Traveler is February 24th, and then they have Theat Rhythm, Final Bar Line, which is the Final Fantasy music game. They're releasing that a week before. Like, you're mining the same audience. Players there, right? Like,
yeah.
So two games at $60.
Is that $60?
I mean, the Theat Rhythm games have, in the past, they have been 40, but they were on DS.
Oh, that's, I just assumed they would have continued to be in budget. I mean, I guess part of it is like, they're like, it's so much content, which it is, but it's also a very niche genre. I mean, it's the rhythm. It's not even like pure rhythm. It's like, you have to be a big Square Enix fan.
It's specifically Final Fantasy for this, and
for the initial one. I think the rest of the game, like the DLC, has a lot of music from their other IPs and stuff like that.
Yeah, they'll be bringing in music from Saga, from I think this is the Chrono games, from Nier. There's other games coming, which is neat. My guess is it may not be $60, but they did that Kingdom Hearts game like this, Melodies of Memory.
Oh yeah,
a little while, and that was $50, so not quite full price, but, and I assume Octopath will be a full price game. Though it was the first time around, so
yeah, that one I wouldn't be surprised by. I was just like, because I think the rhythm was, I always thought it was a budget release, and I don't mean like, oh, it's a budget game. I just meant like they were, and it could be that it was on handheld, so you know, correlation is not.
Yeah. They showed more Mario and Rabbids, Sparks of Hope. Like, that game is out relatively soon, a little bit over a month.
Yeah, I think. Oh.
October 20th.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought it was earlier in October.
It's like I wrote down the dates of the games I'm interested
okay.
in.
Okay, that's
that was one of them.
That's
We talked about the farming games, and then they kind of went into the N64, where they were like, we're bringing a whole bunch more. Pilot Wings, Mario Party, plus Mario Party 2 and 3, Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Stadium 2, 1080 Snowboarding, Excitebike 64, and then
Before you get there, I will say that part of it, I was excited for some of the announcement. And then I just kind of realized like how kind of cynical the N64 lineup was. It's like Mario Party, Mario Party 2, Mario Party 3, Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Stadium 2. I'm like, yay. Like, you can't like bring them all. It's not fun.
Yeah, like five of these games are related to each other. So
yes, and it's like, if I'm not mistaken, like Pokemon Stadium is like, yes, I want to play Pokemon Stadium 2. I don't know, I have a reason to play Pokemon Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the big one, which was a roller coaster announcement, but take it away.
Yeah, GoldenEye 007 coming to Switch.
Woo!
And then in a not hyped up announcement, also coming to Xbox. Messaging on this is so bad.
Which was both fantastic announcement people were excited for. And then things came out about it. And I mean, you could just see like the air gets defeated everywhere.
Yeah, so the Switch is getting the original N64 cart. But because of the way the N64 stuff works on Switch, it will be able to be played online. There's no matchmaking, but you'll be able to play with, I guess, four friends online. Playing it that way, it will be a split screen. Like, you will see your three friends that you were playing with, just like you would if you were playing on the couch. But it'll just be you on the couch, and your friends will be on their couch. Then,
which is cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and we'll get to it in a second, but the Xbox version is a... It's not the N64 port. It is not the remake that they did on the 360 either. It is a kind of spruced up version of the game. They've redone the controls. It has dual analog stick controls. It has, you know, 4K resolution, which may not be the best thing for it, but and it's going to run at a steady frame rate, which I think the Switch version will not, because it's being emulated as the original game. But the big thing is that it does not have online. So there's only couch play for GoldenEye on the Xbox.
So yes, just to get that whole like, you know, like the pre-order boxes and stuff like that. So if you want a modern version that's like cleaned up, like, it's not like a full-on remake, but it has like spruced up graphics, it's 60 frames per second, it 4K resolution, it's the Xbox version, which is on Game Pass.
Yes.
But if you want like online multiplayer with your friends, and probably a, you know, yeah, it's the Switch, and it's like, oh, so both of these games are half good. Yeah. I just want one of them to have the other's half. And it's like, because, yeah, it's like, I'm happy that, like, it, like, but I'm like, when am I going to get four friends together to play GoldenEye?
Yep. And I think what I kind of mentioned this in our chat, and I think it was kind of concurred on, is like, this is cool, right? We'll give it a try. But even if it has online play, like, we're going to play it like once or twice and be like, that was neat.
Yeah.
This game is not. This is not what we want to be playing, though.
Okay. Yeah. Aside from the cursed announcement of how this is divvied up, it feels like it's very much a dog chasing a car, and now you get you got the car, and it's like, what do you do with it? Because GoldenEye was really, really good for its time. That time was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And if there's one genre that has evolved and had enough content in that 25 years, it's the first-person shooter. I mean, if you want a first-person shooter that's arena-based, you got that. If you want a first-person shooter that's like four players, you got that. If you want a first-person shooter that's 64 players, you got that. If you want a first-person shooter that's mostly vehicle-based, you got that. If you want a, like, you have all types of first-person shooters. I don't know what niche GoldenEye fills anymore.
Yeah.
Nostalgia in a genre that is built on innovation constantly.
Yeah, I think, like, everybody that's excited for this is going to play it for 10 minutes and be like,
yeah,
cool.
This is a great game. This is like it's like a Game Pass game. That's like, I'll play it a little bit and be done.
Thankfully, for anybody that has an Xbox, it is a Game Pass game.
Yes.
I believe it's an NSO game, so it's the same thing where it's like, if you have the expansion pass,
yes,
yeah, play it for like, I'm sure it's gonna be like, it's gonna come out, there's gonna be like a day where they like, yeah, I'm playing GoldenEye. You're gonna play like four rounds, like, I played GoldenEye. Who wants to play anything else?
Yeah, I'm sure, like, if I can get like three friends over, like, we'll sit down and maybe play a couple matches, but it's not like, one, it's not 25 years ago. Like, it's just not how most people that grew up with this game are, you know, playing games now. I don't know. It's cool, I guess. I will probably poke at the single player. I remember the original opening level was a lot of fun. I can't remember much about the rest of that game, though.
I will say, I do think the campaign might stand out a bit more. Is that I feel like that the campaign structure is not something a lot of people have followed suit on exactly, especially with the notion of like multiple difficulties having different objectives, and that's kind of the, how it makes it harder. And not, and I still think that's a really novel idea. I'm surprised more things don't copy, but a lot of shooters' campaigns don't tend to be objective based in that way. Like they have objectives, but it tends to be like you follow a straight line, you go from point A to point B, and probably hold a point for like 2 minutes. I usually kill a bunch of stuff, and then you move on. So.
Just like we are right off of GoldenEye.
Yep.
I don't know, there was a bunch of other like kind of indie games announced. You know, they're bringing Pauline and Diddy Kong to Mario Strikers Battle League. That's a game that has kind of
come and gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they do a really poor job of I think what like these games launch with a lot of anticipation, and I think the base game is good, but because they have content, a lot of people just move on, and then by the time it gets there, nobody's... I think the same thing happened with golf and tennis, where it's like, yeah, they get stuff, but it's like, that, so a lot of that stuff should have been there at launch. It's like, yeah.
They showed off some of the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Wave 3 stuff. Is that like another 8 courses, so that stuff seems like quite the deal if you are getting that through the NSO.
Yeah.
Because that's now, what, 8, 16, 24? 30. That's like a whole new game.
Yeah, I mean, and by the end of next year, you'll have 48 new courses, so, I mean, yeah. I'm going to use new in quotes.
I mean, they're remakes or pulled over from, like, Tour or the arcade game, but neat because like they weren't courses you were driving on if you were still playing Mario Kart anyway. Oh. So, and it's a reason to, you know, kind of jump back into, you know, the best in class kart racer. So, you mentioned it earlier, Nintendo Switch Sports getting golf. They're delaying it a little bit. It's not coming till holiday 22 now. It was supposed to be out relatively soon, but I don't know. That looks fun. And this is where the moment in the presentation where they brought out Miyamoto, and I just started laughing hysterically.
This was just a massive troll, and I honestly wished he had stopped where he stopped, and I would have just been so content with that. But he went a step further, but I was so content if he had just done, like, he came out, he's like, you know, I've been busy working on the Mario movie and Super Nintendo World's open at Universal Hollywood next year. And like, okay, nothing comes of that. Okay. He's like, okay, so we're going to talk about Pikmin. I'm like, okay. And he's like, Pikmin review. I'm like, yes, like, this is what you do. Like, just dedicate 5 minutes to a mobile game that's already out to piss people off. And I was like, I wanted him to just like talk about that and nothing else.
This was where, in my head, because we weren't sitting next to Jeff, I could just see Jeff seething. Like, because like they bring Miyamoto out. Oh, fine. They're gonna announce Metroid. They're, you know, I mean, he's not the guy in charge of Zelda, but like, this is where they're making the big announcement. And then they bring out one of Jeff's favorite franchises, and it's not... It's a mobile version of it. It's like, this is hysterical. They threw Jeff a bone, though, and announced Pikmin 4 after that. Sometime next year. So, Jeff has a lot to look forward to in 2023. Just Dance 2023 coming. I think I played a Just Dance when it was on Kinect or the Wii. I don't know how that stuff works now. Like,
I mean, I assume it still works the same.
Well, the Kinect would, like, you know, read your body, like, and the Wii, you were, like, waving around the...
Yeah, I think you could, I mean, you could still kind of do it with the Joy-Con.
Because, like, this is also coming to other games, other systems.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know how it
that's
works.
How, that's, like, that's more, I think, where I don't...
How does it work on PS5? I really want to know, like...
Yes, I mean, that's been the case for years now. I just never paid attention to it. That's a good question. Probably why it still sells best on, like, Nintendo systems.
In our farming talk, I missed the Harvestella.
Yes, I got a demo, which
we have a new challenger. Jeff has entered the chat.
Noochie boochies.
I thought you were at your movies.
I did. I just got back.
He walked out. Not only did Nintendo let him down, but Clerks 3, terrible.
No, it was good. I liked it.
Good. That makes me feel good, Jeff. It's like, so I was like trying to temper your expectations. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I said the wrong things, and like he's going in way too hype.
I really loved a lot of it. I didn't love like the ending. And I can't say why without spoilers, but it just felt like unnecessary. I don't know. And then it felt like he didn't know how to end it. I mean, I don't know. Can't say more.
But we were talking about something. Honestly, I don't think you came out super disappointed in. You just weren't correct in your prediction.
It's hard for me to be mad at Nintendo when my rage should really be directed at, like, people that cover Nintendo and myself. You know, it's like, I don't know, like, they showed Pikmin 4, dude. You know what I mean? Like, great.
It's like you were expecting like two of your other favorite franchises and got something completely different that you would have also wanted.
And I wasn't expecting.
I mean, it's something I've brought up over the course of this year, even, like, where the fuck is Pikmin, man? You know, I've said it a bunch of times. Like, Miyamoto said it like 7 years ago that Pikmin 4 was almost done. I'm sure that got scrapped and whatever. Like, this is like a new thing. But I was a surprise. They didn't show, like, I thought all the trailers kind of sucked. That was just like an initial teaser, so that was fine. But why was the Zelda trailer like as crappy as it was, dude? That was like not a good trailer.
We haven't gotten to Zelda yet.
Oh, so yeah.
We'll get there in a
minute. I figured you guys passed this whole Nintendo Direct part already. So
no, half of it making fun of you. So,
in our farming talk, I missed Harvestella. That's another one.
Yes.
Bayonetta 3, they showed that. That was
the weirdest one to me, because it was like, we're going to show you this, but it's like, if you actually want to see the game, we're going to upload a 7-minute trailer to our YouTube after this event. And it's like, but this is the event that you're showing people stuff. So why not show them here? But it doesn't matter. I'll get that game anyhow.
I never watched the 7-minute thing either that they showed, I guess, right after.
Me either. But I'm also like, I'm not sold on Bayonetta, so.
I kind of wonder what it was, though. Like, if it was like.
I think it's a gameplay. It's, yeah.
I wonder if it was just like 7 straight minutes of gameplay, or if it was one of those long, you know, like those badass trailers they'll do for like Rockstar games where like they're talking about the game or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a long. Breakdown of what the game is. I have no idea. It could be. It doesn't matter, because, like you said, I know it's going to be fucking awesome. So it doesn't really. I'm good. I actually almost bought Bayonetta 1 because it's on sale on Xbox for like $10. I was like, I never played that one. I've only played 2. So
you never played the original one?
No.
It's pretty good. Like, I mean, if you enjoy character action games, which it seems you do if you're gonna buy Bayonetta 3, it's a decent game.
Yeah, I mean, I know I like these ones because I just took a chance on Bayonetta 2 and I fucking really dug it. So I'm pretty confident about three, and I'm sure I'd probably like one quite a bit. Earl, or have you, Chris, have you played Bayonetta 1 and 2?
I played 1. Did not play 2, and I'm not, like, not anticipating 3, so.
Wondering which one was better out of 1 and 2. Because 2 was pretty wild, dude. It was, like, really crazy.
2 is wild. I think you'll still enjoy 1. I think there's some stuff that 2 does that does kid it up a bit, but it's still a really rock-solid game. The only thing, and it's probably impossible to track down now, is I would have recommended the Wii U version. It has a bunch of like the goofy Nintendo costumes in it, which I don't think is in the port of the Switch version either. So,
yeah, you're really hard to hear, Earl. You're quiet. Is he quiet for anyone else or just me?
He just got a little bit lower just recently.
That could just
get low.
Capcom announced the bunch of Resident Evil games coming to the Switch, but as cloud versions.
Yeah, I want that giant caveat. I assume these cloud versions must do something, but I don't get it. Like, I get Resident Evil Village. Like, I assume Resident Evil Village and 2 and 3 probably way too advanced for the Switch, but I don't think the cloud. The whole point of the Switch to me, if I'm going to get a game on it, is for it to be portable, and that defeats the whole purpose of it. So.
Yeah, it seems weird. I mean, and this isn't like they're coming out day and date next to the games coming out on other systems. Like, we can't compete because, you know, the hardware doesn't work. These games are old. Like, I mean, they're great games, but I don't know, it seems weird to bring cloud versions out now. I guess Sifu's exclusivity with PlayStation is up because it's coming to Switch as well.
Tempting.
It looks interesting. Yeah.
Javi, like, I respect Javi's opinion, and he, like, really loves that game, so it, like, makes me want to check it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Crisis Core Reunion coming December 13th.
What type of game is that?
It's an action RPG.
Okay.
It's an action RPG, like, but not. It's hard. Have you didn't play Final Fantasy VII Remake, did you?
No.
Have you ever played Kingdom Hearts?
1.
Okay, so, like, you know how you move Donald and Goofy and Sora around? Well, you move Sora around, but not the other ones. But so you're moving around, but then you're picking your attacks. Like, it's not a Bayonetta. Yeah. It's still a menu based, but you have direct control of your character on the field.
Okay.
This one seemed interesting for Jeff. Radiant Silvergun.
Yeah, I don't know. I have it on Xbox. Never got far. Also, they released it and then took it down, so I don't know what the deal was with that. I don't know if it's even back up yet. Strange though, huh?
Yeah. Tales of Symphonia Remastered, or I think that's what it was.
Which is another one where it's like, oh man, that's exciting. And then news comes out afterwards, because I did not realize this. And I'm not even a big, like, oh man, it has to be this thing. But apparently that it is based off of the PlayStation 2 version, because they offered the GameCube version, which means that it actually runs in like 30 frames per second and other stuff. So it is the port of the SSR version of the game.
Yeah,
on the GameCube.
I think it was 60 frames on GameCube.
Yeah.
That was a game I really, really liked on GameCube too when it came out, but I tried to with that series again recently. I forgot, I think Vesperia. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't
Vesperia is the one that everyone is like, that's the best one too.
I couldn't get into it, man. I was just like, oh, this is so JRPG. Like,
I mean, yes,
which is like it was neat when Symphonia came out on GameCube, because there wasn't a lot of shit like that on GameCube, so it was just like I really gave it a shot. I don't even think I beat it, but like I, you know, still probably sunk like 40 or 50 hours into it. But yeah, I don't see myself. It's cool though. I know a lot of people really like Symphonia as well, so it's cool that they're porting it, I guess. But why
you guys,
the GameCube version?
Have you guys seen the clips of people trying to force it to 60? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It breaks the game. Yeah. Like the characters are all just wigging out all over the place. Because it doesn't have the coding to read the frames correctly, so it just freaks out. Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe. That's coming next year.
I don't know if they gave a date or not. But I'm also happy for that. I mean, I was kind of hoping they would announce that for this year, just so Kirby gets like a sweep of 3 games in 1 year. But
yeah, give Kirby 3 games, but don't release Metroid Prime or anything.
Because I'm assuming those Kirby games are so better than Metroid. So
I don't know. Who cares?
I assume
don't sell. Does Kirby sell better than Zelda? Like, what the fuck, dude?
Yes, it does.
If you say so.
I mean, not better than Breath of the Wild, but
no, but
like, Kirby is better seller than Zelda. And then that brings us to Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Is that why they made this not a live show? Like, that was some speculation. Is it the name
that
of the
was that, game? That, and I honestly, when I heard that, when somebody said that, I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because it's like, oh yeah, I could. Okay, not a live show for. It was a live show for us. It was not a live show in the UK. We should care.
Okay.
So it was live for us. It was not live in the UK. And yeah, when somebody said that, I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because I could see like talking like trending Tears of the Kingdom and being like, oh no, people may think this is something completely different.
So I watched that and I was like, that looks like more Breath of the Wild. Jeff, when you joined us, you were like, why did that trailer look like shit? So I'm interested to hear your opinion on this.
It's like the game looks awesome. It's just like, that wasn't like a good trailer. You know what I mean? It was like, it was basically just like a title announcement and date announcement trailer with like 10 seconds of gameplay. Like, that was stupid looking. Like, I get it, dude. You could go up in the sky. Fucking great, dude. Like,
I think that was it, though. I don't think this was intended to be like the grand reveal of the game.
I think they've done better trailers for this game, even though, haven't they?
I don't think so. Like, almost everything they've shown us so far has just been a tease of what's to come. And I think that's been what it is. I think they want to wait to do a big blowout. Because, like, what do we know about this game? You can go into the sky. At some point, he has, like, a hook hand or something like that. I think we've seen Zelda. Like, we've seen, what, 3 or 4 trailers of this game. We've not seen a ton. We've not seen, like, new enemy types. We've not seen why he's in the sky. So I feel like they want to save that for, like, a big blowout, either near the end of the year, maybe, like, a Game Awards, or early next year.
They're getting close to at some point. Like,
yeah, they gave a date. May 12th, 2023. So
is it sticking, do you guys think? I think it is.
I think the fact that they announced a specific date and not a window gives me the confidence that this game
it's ready.
Yeah. Like, it feels like it's very much like we are just like dotting the I's and crossing the T's now. And not like we're working on this. It's like very much like, okay, the bones are there, the structure's there. We're gonna play test the heck out of this. It's not going to be ready for this holiday. When's the next best time we can do it? And I think that is a good time to do it, because then you get rid of that. And then I don't want to say get rid of, because I'm assuming it's a big game. And then like the next month, you can kind of reveal the back half of 2023, sign up at like an E3 Direct or something.
So that was the Nintendo Direct. Then about 7 hours later, Sony went live with State of Play. Which was a much more low-key event, I think, a showcase. Not as many games, at least. They started off with Tekken 8. Guys, big Tekken fans.
Ooh, yeah, love fighting games. Ooh,
right.
Ooh.
I do enjoy Tekken. I thought the game looked really good. I forget the exact wording, but I was like, I was into it until like the very end. And it's like, more information to come or something that, stay tuned. And stay tuned to me means like this is nowhere near. This is not like a 2023. This is not 2024. This is like, yeah, you. Yeah, you. That does remind me real quick, and this will come up in the state of health, is that one of the things I would say with Nintendo Direct, granted, it is September. It's like we did not get a lot of, I don't think we got any real games that were announced for this, the remainder of this year, from either any of these showcases. A lot of it was like next year, and even in, I think, two or three cases beyond that.
Yeah.
So I was hoping that like somebody would have something else for this year that would be like a big surprise because we need it, but whose mic is that?
You all right, Jeff?
Why, what's wrong?
You're making sounds.
You weren't talking, but you were showing up like you were talking and there was like a weird static. It's gone now.
Okay. The devil.
It's the sound of Jeff's soul leaving his body.
Thinking about all these awesome games I don't get to play ever this year.
I guess Sony then went into talking about PSVR 2 a little bit. Showed off a few games, I guess. But there was no word on when that's even coming. So I don't know how hyped that is. Let's see. There's Like a Dragon Ishin coming in February, which is very crowded. That's a new Yakuza game. It looks like they rebranded Yakuza, though.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, yeah, they've rebranded Yakuza. It's Like a Dragon because it's very confusing and weird, but like, yes, this is a spinoff, so it's not a new game. It's a game that has not left Japan. That they're bringing over. It is updated, but it's a version. It's a spinoff. And then they announced, because then I don't think we're going to cover this separately. They did have like a Yakuza or a RGG, I think it's the company's name, a presentation where they announced like a Dragon 8, which is would be Yakuza 8, and then another spinoff. So I think it's like a Dragon Ishii is early next year. Then there's, I think, Like a Dragon 8, which is at the end of next year, and then they announced one for 2024. So they announced three
games. Pump out those Yakuza games, or Like a Dragon games, I guess.
They sell well. I mean, they do, they have a, yeah.
Yeah. They showed another trailer for Hogwarts Legacy. That's also in February.
That's also a game that's going to be released. I feel like there's just been a lot of damage done to that brand where there's like no hype or anticipation. So,
yeah. I mean, I have very little interest in it. And most of the people that I see talking about it, if they are talking about it, it's not good. Not to say that the game isn't good, it's just the. The talk around that game is more about its creator and
everything around that. Everything around that property is about the creator.
Yeah. It's a very, very toxic currently. Since I did not see this, there was a game called Pacific Drive, though. Looks like you're driving around in a station wagon.
Yes. Was so confused. This was the thing that I think really certified to me because we had a direct and a state of play in the same day. And, you know, it's always kind of been like Nintendo Directs have been the quote unquote gold standard of like these digital presentations for quite some time. And I can never put my finger on why I prefer a direct. Like, there's some stuff, the direct tends to be more, you know, it tends to have more humor, they kind of poke fun at themselves a bit more. But it was watching this where it's like Nintendo, good or bad, likes to focus more on what the game is. Sony prefers to focus on what the game's story and look is. Because there's several choices where it's like, this is not gameplay footage. But like watching a specific drive, I was just like, what is this game? I do not understand anything after watching this for 2 minutes. Like you're in a car, you're driving around, but what is the actual mechanics here?
Right. And I don't know. I mean, it could be really cool, but I think we need to see more out of it. PlayStation Stars was announced. Well, I guess it had previously been announced. Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I completely missed it. But the way she was talking about it, it sounded like it had been announced and everybody knew about it.
Yeah, so they had announced it earlier in the year that they were bringing some sort of loyalty. It wasn't called PlayStation Stars, just they were bringing some sort of loyalty program to the PlayStation, which, when they originally announced it, kind of sounded like Microsoft Rewards.
Right.
That does not seem to be what this is. Instead, it seems to be like you'll do quests and stuff to earn stuff, but that stuff is all digital stuff.
Yes, I wasn't sure if this is like you kind of earn NFTs or because you earn digital assets. I'm like, what do I do with this?
Right.
Like, I feel like this would have been better suited. Oh God, that was that two generations ago? When they have PlayStation Home,
because then PlayStation it's like, 3.
Oh, then I could display that in my virtual home. It has some purpose. I'm unlocking new stuff. It kind of like a meta Animal Crossing. Like, I'm unlocking stuff. I could display. People can come visit me at my PlayStation Home and see it. Outside of that, it's like, oh, you can gain a PlayStation 3 digital asset. I'm like, what do I do with this now?
Yeah, it doesn't seem great, and it also does seem like a backdoor into doing NFT bullshit without saying we're doing NFT bullshit. But okay, that's there, I guess. We don't have to do it. Sinduality, it's a game from Bandai Namco. This recap I'm looking at doesn't have anything. It just says, that's a brand new game from Bandai Namco. So very very descriptive on what that game is on this. Another game called Natives, which is like you're fighting monsters. It's in a wasteland. Again, not a whole lot here on that. Something called Stellar Blade, which is a console exclusive that's coming out in 2023.
Just as a quick aside, I just found this really funny because I had several people message me or people tweet about this on the side. I did not realize how many people do not know how to read cursive because several people were like, I didn't know what the name of that game was because I couldn't read the font. I'm like, I am so very disappointed that people don't know in cursive anymore. Or if they do, they don't realize it happens from time to time. But yes, that is really the only thing I remember about that game. The people were like, I didn't know what the name was. They couldn't read the cursive. And I'm like, but is that the one from Team Ninja?
No, is a game called Rise of the Ronin. That's it. It's an RPG. I guess an action RPG by Team Ninja. We'll see. That one is a couple years out, though. That is not till 2024.
But at least it had a date on like Tekken.
Yeah, that's true. They showed off the DualSense God of War Ragnarok controller.
That's really nice.
I want one. I only have one controller for my PS5. I always feel like I should have a second one.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an excellent addition to the collection of one.
And then they close it out with a new trailer for God of War Ragnarok coming November 9th.
Which looks amazing.
I'm not looking at any more trailers. I'm in for this game. I don't need to see any more. Give me that game. Give me.
It was a 20-minute showcase, so not very long, but, there was some stuff there.
There was some stuff there. I think it was it was very interesting to have both of them on the same day because I felt that, for once, I felt the Nintendo Direct was overstuffed. There were times where I'm just like, I kind of want you to move on. And I felt like this one was just like, there wasn't enough stuff. Where it felt like the 20 minutes kind of So I'm like, there's like, it's not the time, it's not the content, it's just like pacing a lot of the time it comes down to, where it's like, and it comes down to like, there are times where it's just like, I'm just not into these games, and it says like, I want you to move on. There are other times where I'm like, I'm not into it, but I understand other people are. So.
And that brings us to the Xbox showcase, which happened at 5 a.m. Eastern time today.
Let's just say, did anybody actually watch it?
No.
Oh.
Sounds like it was like 2 minutes long, because I only saw like two things.
I mean, it was. I feel like it wasn't a showcase in the same way that Microsoft, I mean, Sony and Nintendo was. It doesn't sound like there was a ton of new announcements. It sounds like a lot of like Japanese games coming to
Xbox. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some fun stuff coming to Game Pass, though.
Yeah. So I guess the big thing that came out of it, and to end the speculation that we've been having for the last little bit, Deathloop is coming out on Xbox on September 20th.
Oh, wow. We are so surprised that it's coming out a year after the exclusivity. Like, literally, like a week after the exclusivity runs out. It is
this property that Microsoft owns.
Right.
It's coming to their own console. I am shocked. Shocked.
Exactly. But yeah, so it'll be out very soon. They could not talk about it until today. So
literally today. Like, it was
the exclusivity ended at midnight on the 14th, and they immediately were like,
and at 5 a.m.
yo, it comes out in 5 days, guys. Like, so yeah, that's there. I'll play that. We all were like, yeah, that's coming out, and maybe we could play it on PlayStation, but why wouldn't we just wait? And
we'll just wait until it's free.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it out.
Yeah, why not? They then as Earl said, like a bunch of Japanese games coming to Game Pass as well. Ni no Kuni: Wrath of the White Witch Remastered is finally hitting Xbox, and it's also going to be on Game Pass. So that's neat.
Hasn't it already hit? Like, isn't it out now?
It's out. Yes, it's out now. It's a game that has been on everything else. Like, until today, but Xbox finally got it out there, and they're going to be getting the Ni no Kuni 2, but that's not till next year. So, I mean, Ni no Kuni is a good game if you're into Japanese role playing games. So, I think it's a nice add. Danganronpa version 3 Killing Harmony, that also was added today. I don't know what those games are. I've heard of the name Danganronpa before, but I don't have any idea what they are. That seemed to be a pretty big deal, though. People seem to like that. Guilty Gear Strive, another thing coming to Game Pass. And then Assassin's Creed Odyssey was also dropped on there today, so some stuff coming, but yeah, nothing. It's kind of as Jeff said.
I was like surprised how little. Like, I was like, okay, that's it. All right.
Yeah. And none of us watched it, so we're not sure how it even went. But doesn't sound like there was any reason for us to get up at 5 a.m. and watch it.
Yeah, we got the headlines. I assume. I feel like none of these presentations were must-see presentations.
No.
So,
I mean, I thought the Nintendo one, just for like, and you said it was a little overstuffed, just for the amount of games, was kind of interesting to watch.
But the presentation itself was,
yeah,
like it wasn't anything. Like, it's pretty much the same presentation they've had for Directs for a while, with like a Kazumi kind of being your guide who shows up and will talk something real quick. He's like, how do you think about those announcements? Here's some more headlines, and he does the snap. And then like Miyamoto, I guess the Miyamoto part was great just to watch and see people freak out. Like, he's going to talk about Pikmin, and he's like, Pikmin and Bloom, and it's like,
what is going on here?
That interface was great, but
It's real quick in some other Xbox news. Resident Evil 4 remake will be coming next year in March. And it will be hitting PS4, but the Xbox One is, it seems like Capcom has said that system's dead. They are not releasing it for that. It will be on Series X and S, but PS4 is the only old system that is going to get it. That's it for TGS. And then there was some like not great news that kind of hit.
Before we talk about that, since Jeff is on the air, we can talk about Splatoon real quick.
Oh yes,
because as noted, like Splatoon has sold more than Metroid Dread in 2 days in Japan only.
Yeah, it's still mid.
Is it?
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of people. I think Splatoon is. I don't know, man. It's okay.
You liked Splatoon.
Too, yeah. I'm like less impressed this time. Like, well, because like when it came out, it was like,
this wow, is new.
Nintendo was like actually trying something new. They're like doing their take on a shooter, and now we've got three of them. They're just kind of, it's just okay. Like I don't know, like. I'm playing through the campaign still. I haven't played any of the online, and you know it's something to play.
I
feel like Earl is in a different direction on this, but
I would. But I think that's something we can save for next week. I just wanted to bring it up because, again, to the point that we made before with Metroid and the stuff, it's like it didn't add anything to the lineup this year that they needed. I just saw a stat. Which is insane to think of. And yes, granted, this is Japan, which is a very different market, is that the Switch last week during Splatoon's launch accounted for 98% of consoles sold in Japan, which is just kind of absurd to think about in general. I don't even think the PlayStation 2 at its peak was doing that in any market.
That's a crazy amount. Like,
yes. So yeah, it's one of those things where like it's a big like, I think culturally the thing that's most fascinating about Splatoon is I think this is something we haven't seen in quite some time where like it's such like it does well in the West, but it does phenomenally well in Japan. Because I think the other thing, just you know, I was making fun of Metroid Dread and you know, a lot of games are so just in Splatoon. Actually, Splatoon 2, based off of Nintendo's numbers, is the biggest opening of all time in Japan for any game. Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Zelda, Final Fantasy, Kingdom Hearts, Dragon Quest, whatever. Highest selling game in the first 2 days. It's just an insane stat to think about for a game that's in its third entry and only, 8 years old.
It is pretty nuts. Yeah. Well, good for them that they, you know, created a new franchise and it's hitting, it's clicking out there. I guess before we jump into the not so fun news, there is one other piece I wrote down here. Sims 4 went free to play. Yeah. I don't know. I think they should have
done that a long time ago.
Yeah, years ago.
I think it goes on sale for like almost nothing all the time. Anyways, they get you on the expansion. It's like AKA making it a full game. Like it's ridiculous, dude. It makes me so mad because I like that game, but the expansions are like it's like, hey, you want dogs and cats in your game? $40. You know what I mean? Like every little thing is $40, dude.
I think you do get two expansions free with this. I guess if you're an EA Play member, but then I guess all the other ones are you have to pay for. I don't know. Jeff, you already have Sims 4, so...
I have Sims 4. I've bought an expansion or two. I've played through that game a million times. It's like, I don't... One, this doesn't help me at all. And I think I'm done with Sims 4 until... they do with Sims 5, I guess. But it's just like, hey, man, when you make Sims 5, maybe just put dogs and cats in the game, dude. Like, why? I don't understand. I mean, I guess I understand, like, they just want to rip people off because there's people that, like, will buy all this stuff. But it's just like, you know, in Sims 2, you add pets, you add seasons. That should all be in Sims fucking 4 from the right off the bat. Like,
right, yeah, if it was in the previous game, yeah, like, that stuff should carry over and like, add new, like, stuff.
It's not like major, it's just things, it's like touches that you would want to make the game good. And they're like, no, all those things are $40 each. It's like, okay, I've resisted because I know, like, I could probably spend $500 and make the game like way cooler than it is that I've played, but it's just like, I'm not going to do that. That's insane. Like, I like the game, but I got other games.
Yeah. And then I guess on to the unfortunate business news. There were a bunch of layoffs today in Games Press, Future Press, G4 TV, and Fanbyte all suffered losses. Fanbyte basically got decimated. Most of their team was let go in shitty fashion too. Imran Khan was over in Japan for TGS. He had actually stayed up late last night working on stuff. And while he was asleep in Japan, they laid him off. They also laid off the summer intern whose last day was tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Those were the two. I'm like you could have just like kept them for a day. They were done. You didn't have to fire them.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you could wait till Imran gets back from TGS and be like, sorry, thank you for your work, but yes, you no longer have a job here. And then, like, the summer intern, like, you couldn't just wait one more day.
Is he even a paid intern? Are they firing someone who doesn't make any money?
I don't know. That information I did not get.
Services are no longer needed,
I guess. I did not read Fanbyte. I would occasionally, like, I follow Imran on Twitter, and I would get updates from him. He's actually a pretty good news source. But Fanbyte actually is pretty good for guides. And that that's where they're focusing. So it's not going to be a news site anymore.
Tough biz. I'm happy I never got into it like I wanted.
G4 is weird too because, I mean, not weird, but it's, they just relaunched that last year.
Been struggling to catch on, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where, in a world where the kind of YouTube channels exist, I don't really know where G4 fits in because people have already built up their viewership. And G4 is not on TV anymore, so it's not even like a TV station. It's like, you know, they're doing a Twitch thing, YouTube thing.
Yeah, they're just the same thing.
It's like you're building up from scratch, and it's like, okay, they have Adam Sessler, but
I really enjoyed G4 back in the day, and I liked Sessler. I liked all of them, but I don't know. I don't watch their new shit, so I don't know what to say about it.
But,
sorry,
I mean,
guys.
Yeah, which is fair, and I think that's a component of it. But it's also just like, I don't know. I think we've seen time and time again, G4, Fanbyte, we've seen it with GameSpot, with Giant Bomb, with IGN, with 1UP, is that it's just I don't know if there's pure money in game journalism. I feel like it is a big industry that is just super niche.
Journalism in general is a tough career. It's tough to carve out a career in it. Yeah. Even for someone like Sessler, apparently, who was well established, and you know what I mean, like he was on fucking TV. Apparently, you know, they're struggling, so it's hard. I don't know. The answer is go get a real job, motherfuckers. I mean, come join me on the middle route.
It is a real job. I mean, I think really the issue is more. The issue isn't even layoffs, which is a massive problem. It's the way these were handled, where I think there are ways you can kind of be like, okay, we're going to have some redundancies, or like give some reason for it. I think if Fanbyte was to come out before they saw the letting people go, and just like that, and all staff know that, like, you know, we've kind of assessed our stats and our numbers, and we think it's more viable to be a guide-oriented website instead of like a news-oriented one.
How do you get like fired and not know? Like, how do your like coworkers and everyone else know that you got laid off? And you don't know. You know what I mean? I don't understand even how that worked.
I mean, there's plenty of ways, depending on how you do it. If you're doing, like, I think Fanbyte was doing it one by one. It could be like, oh, I tried to email this person. Their email's no longer active. They're no longer on Slack. You know, like, you can't
message. He's asleep for 6 hours.
You basically can't message them internally. Because there are ways, I mean, like, that's happened, where it's like, okay, this person's done. And like, as soon as they're done, like, everything gets deactivated because you don't want to give them an opportunity to take anything. Because, yeah, like, Emran is a good example of that, where word of him being fired was out before he was up. Because I think somebody tweeted that we lost our news editor, like, maybe an hour before he woke up and he announced it.
Yeah, Merrick Kay had put that out there, that their news editor had been let go. Yes. He was in Japan sleeping.
For them. Covering thing for them.
It sucks. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm very happy that when I attempted to get into it, it did not work out. So.
Yeah, that's what I was saying at the top of this. It's like, I want so badly to be not necessarily game journalism, although I like focus on that near the end of it, but just, yeah, journalism in general doesn't seem like a good proposition anywhere. Like, it's not like just game journalism. Journalism in general is a tough job to.
And I mean, we've seen it across, and as you said, not just with games journalism, with everything.
Yeah, it's
become such a personality focused thing that, like, if you don't carve out, like, you're not just like going and writing stories anymore. You need to make yourself a brand. And even that, like, Sessler is basically like a brand himself, and even that's not necessarily enough.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, I mean, I think a lot of people never recover from, like, the pivot to video. And I think video games make more sense as a visual medium to be covered in video. But a lot of, like, the in-depth journalism, the stuff you find out about, like, Activision and stuff, is done through reporters, and there's just enough avenues for that to happen. Though, to Jeff's point, you say, I know you were joking, but it's also, like, there's no industry that's necessarily safe. I've been in nonprofits for like 15 years, and I've lost 3 jobs because we've got funding, or, you know, like, this program or this thing's moving on to be more closer to the action, or you can't afford New York City anymore, because, like, there's a lot of pans that you need to feed, but there's also a lot of heads that you need to make sure are content.
I think, like, as you were saying, Earl, with, you know, where people aren't going, kind of like, you're not making money in these sites anymore. Patrick Klepek had a interesting article and a talk on Waypoint's podcast a few weeks ago about guides, which is where Fanbyte's moving. And that's because guides will continually bring people back. Like, if you write a review, somebody reads that review once, and
it's not getting traffic as much a year down the line. The guide is, you know, anyone that's playing the game is going to be looking that up.
Exactly. You write a guide for Pac-Man World or whatever. Like, where are all the letters for this and whatever, and you create different pages for it, and people go and they'll click on it, and they'll consistently be coming back because people always need to know where the letters are.
As they play through the game, they hit it multiple times over multiple days, and they get lots of hits even from single people.
Yep. So like the journalism that, you know, Patrick is doing, people aren't coming to the sites for that. They're like, yeah, maybe like we're reading it because like he's a good writer and he does good investigative work, but like that's not why most people are going to sites. They're going for these like, so, where can I find the pigeon in GTA 3?
Could you imagine the hell of, yeah, I got my career in, you know, journalism writing, and you're stuck writing guides, dude. I could not imagine writing a guide.
Despite being the big draws of these sites, they pay the least.
Yeah, none of it fucking.
I was about to say, because I had a friend who used to do guides for IGN, and that's the thing, is like you can get any college student to do it. I mean, honestly, it's probably easy to get a bunch of college students because they are going to be willing to expend. Because you have to be very, very, very like anal with games, because you have to go through and it's like, okay, you go here, you turn left or whatever. And you get that, and he'd pump out like two or three a month. And it, for him, it was a way to get into the door. And it didn't pan out. I think when you're young and out of the stick, you want to do it. And I think as you get older, again, to Jeff's point, it's like you do kind of want to pursue a career. Like, I mean, I get full benefits. I got health. I got dental. I got vision.
Stuff becomes important at some point.
Yeah.
I think. And then I enjoy writing and I actually really enjoyed editing and copy editing. It's like, one, copy editing as a job doesn't exist anymore because they just make people copy edit their own shit. And that's why you see so many fucking bad writing and typos. But it doesn't, it's like a really hard profession to get into. And two, it's like it doesn't even pay. And it's just like, dude, at some point, it's just like reality fucking takes over. I know some people just stick with it forever, and it's like, it sounds awful going through a career where you're just like always afraid of getting fucking laid off. Like, doesn't seem like you have benefits. You're not saving for retirement. Like, I don't know, man. At some point, that stuff, for me, anyways, it was at some point, and I was not getting in anywhere, so I was just like, fuck this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Like, or I don't know. I just eventually just, you know, life happens, I guess. But good. I couldn't imagine like going through a whole career like that, just like sticking with it and just bouncing from place to place. And, you know, like it sounds bad.
Yeah. it's that, and it's like traveling for. I mean, I remember listening to one of yours, and again, many, many years ago, I think a lot of those people have settled in. But like people talking about like they did like four or five people to an apartment, like everyone would be ramen, how they'd have to like pay their own way to like get into like E3.
It's like, I get you might love writing and you might love covering this stuff, but it's like, do you love it that much? You know what I mean? It's like, it's a tough call, right? Like,
again, I think when you're young and naive,
it makes more sense.
It makes a lot more sense. I cannot imagine that in my 30s. Like, I will bitch and moan about work, but I'm happy to know that I have a schedule. I'm happy to know that work's not going to try to send me halfway across the world and then fire me. I'm happy to know that work won't decide tomorrow that they're going to get rid of like 50% of the people. I'm happy to know that like work, you know, is not going to be bought out by a bigger organization anytime soon. Granted, that is a very different beast because that happens in any field, but I'm content with like, I'm not going to say it's my dream job, but I'm sometimes content with being like, yes, it's a job that pays me, that gives me benefits, that respects my time. Like, it's not, I'm not staying up until, like, you know, 1 a.m. in Japan writing articles to then get fired.
That's what the guy tweeted out something about that. I was just like, damn, dude. Yeah. No, it's yeah, I at some point just having security is a, you know, it matters. Also, yeah, I ended up where I landed. I ended up really kind of enjoying what I do at the same time. Like, I don't want to go to work, but, you know, I'd rather stay home and fucking sleep and jerk off all day. But, you know, gotta go out there. Gotta go out there.
Right, exactly. Red.
So we know what Jeff was doing tonight when he was late to the podcast.
But that's why he was, you know, only 3 minutes late.
Well, I hope all those people end up on their feet. I know some of them are looking for work outside of games media at this point. So
I do think at some point, I will. So I hesitate to say. I'm kind of curious what are transferable skills. But
yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess if you get out of games journalism, if you can shift into development, except there is a pathway there to doing production
there's production work. I think a lot of them become like producer. I don't want to say producers, but yeah, I mean, a lot of like there was a pipeline from like IGN to Nintendo for a while. One of yours, a lot of those people like went to work with for Sony, or like they formed A4 Studios in Japan for localization. So there's a few possibilities, yeah. It's sad news, but still sad nonetheless. To get off that subject real quick, I don't think we touched on this yet. And I'm sure you're all going to be very heartbroken by this news. Babylon's Fall announced that they will be shutting down their servers in February.
Yes.
But what about all of their fan?
Their fan.
Yeah, I can't even make that joke because honestly, no. Nobody who's saying that.
I think they literally like that. There was a point at which they were looking at their servers and there was literally one person playing, and it was like a games journalist doing an article.
To say that one person saved Babylon Fall. Yeah, I mean, it's the kills down a year after it opened, but I'm like, it's like one of those things where I'm just like, I cannot think of anybody who was like even you sometimes get that curiosity where like one or two people you know played and that you know like it's really good, you just check it out. Heard none of that.
So, when did that game come out? Was that this year?
This year.
February of this year.
Yeah. It's going to be a full year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just wow. I don't even know what to say there. That's insane. Yeah. Well, that sucks, I guess. For that one person that probably wasn't a fan anyway. Tony said. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you bought that game, like you were screwed. It's closing this February, I believe. Yeah. So
wait,
was not it even a full year.
I thought it was a free to play game. Or did you have to buy it?
You had to buy it, and there was a whole lot of like microtransactions to go with it. So it was one of those like really badly designed games that probably should have been free to play.
That's why nobody. Okay, I honestly thought it was free to play. That's why I'm like, I was surprised nobody even tried it. Nope. Okay, never mind then. Going back.
Yeah, $60 on Steam. You can buy it right now.
Well, not right now. I hope not.
Oh no, they took it down. It's off. It's now no longer available.
I was gonna say.
Recent reviews very negative.
I was going to say pre-TGS, because last weekend was so long ago. We actually had two events then, too. Marvel had Disney had a game day as part of D23, and they announced, what is it? I don't know if it was called anything. I could be mistaken. But there was a 1940s Black Panther and Captain America game from Skydance.
I don't think it had a name.
They did not. They announced like these characters are in it and that it's coming, and that was about it.
Okay. That is Amy Hennig's game. I mean, I don't know if she's directing. She is working on that game.
So it won't be released. Got it.
Yes, consider it canceled. if you're afraid to even tell us the game's title, like, why are you talking to us about it at all?
I don't understand that at all. But, yeah, good. I get. Now I was gonna say good for them, but Midnight Sun is coming out in December. I think
that was surprising to me. I was really expecting the spring.
Yeah, so it was delayed from October, but it's still hitting this year, which is good. And I am still surprised by the number of people who are surprised to learn that this is a card-based game. I feel like I guess they've hit it, but like that's been known for a while, and people are still like, "Oh, this is card-based." I'm like, yeah, it's not like a action game.
Yeah, because I think that up front, like, oh, it's a Marvel game. It's I think it's by Firaxis, right? So
yeah,
and the original, like the original kind of idea behind it was that it was this XCOM game, but you're Marvel. I do think you're right, Earl, that they did, you know, say that it was card based, but I don't know how much they put that out there. I think people just have this impression that, oh, it's Marvel XCOM. And that's maybe not what it is.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, that is kind of what they sold it as, so...
Yeah, like, it's... But, I mean, since they pushed it back so long, like, that information is now out there, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think they've shown gameplay. That, I guess that was my thing. But that is neither here nor there. My friend sent me, because I didn't watch this. I think this is during work, which was confusing because I thought it was a new TV show. But Gargoyles Remastered. I guess this is like a Genesis game.
Yes.
Which I'm always surprised by because there's always people like, oh my gosh, this is like my favorite game growing up. I'm like, I've never heard of this. Like, I'm not surprised it exists because, like, I mean, this was in the 90s. We made games out of anything that was popular. But like, the fact that people come out of the woodworks make this is my favorite game growing up. I'm like, sure it was. But yes, this was announced. I assume this will be very similar to like the Aladdin and Lion King or the Disney Afternoon Collection. So yeah, that was another one. I think the most interesting looking game was like, I don't know what it is exactly, but it was like this. Disney, I'm trying to find a name as I'm building, but it's like the one where it's like a bunch of like the characters and like this Disney Solutions Island, a 2D platformer coming to the Switch next year. Did anybody see this?
I saw imagery from it. I did not see, but it has like the old looking kind of Mickey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I'm kind of curious to see how it comes about. So yeah.
A 4-player platformer too.
If it's online, we'll see. But I mean, it sounded like this was a okay event. I think D23 was a disappointment overall for a lot of people, but that's a different podcast. And then the next day, again, I was not here for this, but there was the Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
Which I also heard was not a great showcase because it was very long-winded. But we did get announcements of 2 Assassin's Creed games or 3?
3. So Mirage, which is the one that's coming early next year. And that's the one. Red. Mirage is the one that takes place in medieval Iraq.
Okay.
I guess there is a character from Mirage that appears in Valhalla.
Yeah.
And Assassin's Creed Red, which is basically their Ghost of Tsushima. And Assassin's Creed Hex.
And that's the mobile game.
No.
Oh.
No, Hex is the one that is set during the witch trials, the witch hunts.
Oh, okay, during, yes.
Was there also, yeah, there were, I think there was a mobile game too. I don't remember which one.
Yeah, wasn't there also, or maybe they talked about like doing like an online or multiplayer only Assassin's Creed game, or am I making that up?
If it came out of there, I did not pay any attention to it. So, I don't know.
But yeah, it was a very, very, very big week for games.
Yeah, and one you missed from the Disney one, and maybe this was announced prior, but Disney Speedstorm?
I thought that was announced beforehand.
I feel like there was, like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's cool, but then I, like, thought about it for a minute. I'm like, I feel like I saw this somewhere before, too, like.
Maybe it was a mobile or something, or maybe, but yeah.
But that, yeah, that's coming, and I guess soon, like, you'll be able to play it soonish, so.
So game, is that a real, like, not, like, free-to-play?
I don't know.
I don't know. I said real, not free-to-play, but, like, Disney Dreamlight Valley is going to be free-to-play, and that feels like a real game for the most part.
And Speedstorm is by the same publisher and developer.
Interesting.
So,
I'm down for a Disney kart racer. I'm sure you are, too, you know? Like,
yeah, well, I am kind of, like, look, Gameloft does not have the best reputation, but, you know, from seems like Dreamlight Valley doing very well, and people are enjoying that. If Gameloft's new business model is like, we're gonna copy Nintendo shit and just
Disney games
come with Disney characters, I'm kind of
pretty okay cool with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, as Earl said, big week for games.
That is like this year, you guys think, or what? Like,
Speedstorm, I think they said like you'll be able to play it soonish.
What do you mean this year?
What for, like, game? I'm down for it, dude. I'm always down for a good, you know, racer. Like,
so the Google is saying it has a release date of 2022, but I don't have anything solid on it. So,
I mean, probably in the next month or two. I bet, you know, if that's what it's saying,
that'd be great.
Like, hell yeah,
be in for a Disney kart racer.
It's like that, it looks good. Mickey Speedway all over again. Remember that one? That was good.
Yeah, I mean, and this one looks like, I mean, it looks modern. So
yeah,
I'm up for a good.
I'm all over it. Yep.
Anything else, guys?
I hope that's everything. I'm sure there's stuff we've missed. I mean, I don't think we touched on Street Fighter. I don't think any of us are big fans. I don't know if we talked about the Capcom stuff in general from today. There wasn't a ton of announcements there. I'm trying.
The big thing, I think, I know I mentioned earlier, Resident Evil 4 coming early next year, March, I believe. So
yes. Oh, and then Overwatch 2 introduced a new character. Will be part of the first. They also detailed the battle pass, but we don't care about that,
right? Just because we were fed this news as well. I guess there was also some Call of Duty news for Warzone. Sorry, Walt. I don't have Twitter open, and I don't remember what you actually said about it. So, new map, something like that.
Warzone doesn't matter. It's all about the real game, baby.
I mean, Warzone is their big money maker. Yeah, I agree with you.
I want to play the campaign. And I like the regular multiplayer. I mean, Warzone's cool when I tried it. Like, it's fine, but it's its own thing at this point.
Yes. So yeah, we'll be back next week. Talk about some games we've been playing. Give my final thoughts on Tinykin.
Yeah.
And I think we have some other stuff. Earl will get to Splatoon 3.
I got Splatoon 3. Hopefully I can play some Harvest Stella demo. And then, you know, we have a few games that dropped on Game Pass with, like, No Kuni and Assassin's Creed Odyssey will look into it, maybe. I doubt it, but we'll never know.
I've also been playing Jeff's game of the year, Expeditions Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Guys. And, I mean, just
every time you say that, you know, Jeff's like, he bought Elden Ring.
I was just like, I was wondering where it was going.
It's not as important, but somebody did mention Game of the Year, which does remind me that I think one of the other smaller announcements of the week was that Power Wash Simulator is coming to other platforms soon.
Yeah, sure.
Very weird commercial.
Yep, that's out there. Good for them. Glad
funny. People are enjoying that. So funny how that's like a hit.
Right time, right place.
Yeah, I guess. I'm tempted to get Klonoa since it's kind of on sale.
Yeah, you said, what, $28?
Yeah, it's not too bad for two games.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. And you're not the only person that suggests that I buy that. And so,
I think you like it. You like Pac-Man World. I think it's better than that. It's like better than that, but it doesn't have the Pac-Man branding. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's part of the appeal of Pac-Man World is the Pac-Man shit, right? Like,
right.
It doesn't have that, but I think it's a better game. From what I remember, I will not refund you.
Okay. All right, well, we might have some of that stuff and more. And we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.